Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for everyone gathered here. And we thank you for what you're doing in our midst. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
So we are continuing this week again. And I want to trust that we are in the spirit of whatever we're doing as a local assembly. I hope we're all in the spirit of it. The spirit of it, in quotes, could be the attitude of it. We're in the spirit, we're in the attitude. It's the spirit. Okay. So, for 5 p.m. session this week, I thought to get you involved with my devotion I had this morning. And so I'm going to be getting you along with my devotion. So it's the only time I get you involved. Other times I may not have you around. First Samuel. And I think it directly connects to what we have been talking about, but also, you know, from a very important angle. First Samuel. And I was just looking at it, but then I think I'd want to dwell on chapter 2. And this is Hannah's prayer after she had conceived a child. Of course, who happened to be Samuel, after she had gone through a lot of pain, you know, the pain of being barren is a very bad pain. And I pray for all the women listening to me that you're going to have children of your own in Jesus. You have as many as you want to have. So this is Hannah, and she has been barren for a while. Point in time, she's not been able to give birth. And then finally, the Lord surprises her after she makes a covenant with God to hand over the child that she had to him. So she makes a covenant to God. She tells the Lord, if you give me a son, I'm going to hand him over to you as a sacrifice, as an offering to you. And so Samuel is here, but then she now has the child. She's excited about it. She's full of gratitude and thanks. And in chapter 2, verse 1, she is explaining and she's giving thanks to God for the gift of Samuel, who happens to be her son. She said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation." In fact, the KJV 2 verse 1, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation." This is where she continues. And there are a lot of songs that flow with these particular words. It's actually from Hannah. She now said, "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God." So she's exalting the name of God. You know, so while I was in my devotion, I kept on reading, and verse 3 happens to catch my attention. Hannah now says, "Talk no more exceedingly proudly. Let no arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." You know, quite a strong scripture. Very strong. So Hannah shifts the focus of exalting God to stating out something that looks more like a warning. And then she now says, "Talk no more exceedingly proudly. Talk no more exceedingly proudly. Talk no more exceedingly proudly." Of course, Hannah is making us see how that the attitude of pride elevates. Look at 1 Samuel. Verse 6 to 7. Give me that in a more simpler translation. Maybe NLT, NIV. But then you see that Hannah had suffered under Penina. You know, Penina was the one who had conceived. It's like they are wives. One has conceived, another has not conceived. But then the one that has conceived is throwing out, you know, proud tongues at her. Right. So I'm sure she really suffered. It's like they are calling you names, telling you can't give birth. mocking you, you know. And so, First Samuel 1, verse 6 to 7. So Hannah has suffered. She has suffered hearing the boastful words of Peninnah. You know, how that she would treat her wrongly. In fact, in verse 6 and 7, you see how that Peninnah always provoked her. She was always provoking Hannah. You know, when somebody cannot give birth, you see, normally it's not even, sometimes it's not even the child not coming that is not their problem. Yeah. Many times what kills people like that is what people think about them and what people say behind them and how people view them. Yeah, not many people are so medical. If everybody views them, the pain will not be as strong as what people say. Yeah. So the pain comes from they focusing much on what, especially in-laws, that you know, they didn't want you to marry a certain man. Maybe a man's parents didn't want somebody to marry him. And then they force, then they married. See, then now, it's like they are all waiting for a grandson. They don't really like the person. You see, they don't really like the person. But then the person cannot give birth again. And so there's a lot of problems and issues that come with that. If you're a lady and you're listening to me, let God deliver you from anything that looks like this or that marks itself in this similitude. It's not a good place to be at all. It's not a good place to be at all. It's not a good place to be at all. Let God give you what will give you peace. But when you go into certain things, you're not going to have peace. You have problems. You know? And I would always advise anyone, choose peace. Look at Hannah. Look at how Hannah is being treated. Provoked by Peninnah. Spoken things by Peninnah. Provoked. Say, hey, you can't give up. Hey, you can't do this. So it's a painful thing. So Hannah is really in pain. If you read the story, you see that she was really in pain. Dangerous pain. And then they are also talking exceedingly proudly. You can't give birth. Hey, this can do. Look at us. We've given birth. Our sons are growing. You know, they start to fight. So Peninnah is the one that's provoking. Hannah is the one that's receiving the provoking. But then Hannah is saying something that is very important. See, she definitely is relating that to her situation. She's not just saying it out of the blue. That talk no exceedingly proudly. It means that she has heard proud people talk before. You see, and she has seen how that God weighed their actions. Right? Of course, he weighed their action by making Samuel a priest and a prophet. And of course, what she had that came late was the plan of God, and it was the will of God. So those of you who are in a hurry to marry at all cost and to have what at all cost, sometimes it's not just about doing that. It's about doing it the way God wants it done, the way God leads it in how it should be done. Imagine Hannah saying that, oh, she doesn't want to have any Samuel. And she will not give any child to God to serve God. You see, she wouldn't have had the child that she had. She wouldn't have had a child as she had. She had the child because she made a covenant with God and told God, if you give me a child, I'll give him back to you. Yes, in fact, it was God that closed her womb. You see that in a few chapters after, in verse 6. You know, and her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So the Lord was waiting for her to surrender it. Some of you, the reason why you are not getting what you are supposed to get is because you are not letting it go to the Lord. It's like you are still holding on to it. It's like you are still fighting and saying that if you don't give me this, it has to be this. It must be this. It's going to be this. So you should say, Lord, you do what you want to do with my life, and you do what you've deemed right with it, and then he will give you something that is good. And what he gives you that is good, it will be very good, because we see the kind of child that Samuel is. A child anointed heavily by God. One of the prophets that the Bible expressively tells that none of his words fell to the ground. Such a child is what the Lord gave her because she chose to will it back to him. But there is Penina, on the other hand, who talks exceedingly proudly. Yeah. So maybe what God wants to give you, if it's not maybe, what God wants to give you is the best for you. Yes, but you will always say that you can't wait for it. You can't do this. If you don't accept this one, that's your last. And you accept and go. No. Anyway, back to chapter 2, verse 3. She says, talk no more very proudly. And I said, we relate that to Penina's experience, because Penina was a problematic woman. Then she now says, let no arrogance come from your mouth. See, there's a way that you can talk, and it will get you into trouble. Yes. The way you can talk, and it gets you into trouble. Not with man, with God. Yeah. It's like you talk in a certain way. There's an arrogancy to your speech. Hey, we are doing this and you're saying that's God. It is me, I did it. Hey. Who is he? Hey. In fact, tell that pastor that I said. tell the pastor I said. You say, talk no more exceedingly proudly, yo. Talk no more exceedingly proudly. You boast of the money that you have, boast of the properties that you have, boast of the fame, boast of the name, boast of a skill, boast of a talent. And I say that we have to be careful. No more proud speaking. We can do without them. They think they are this. Oh, I'm sorry. Says, let no arrogancy come from your mouth. You know, For the Lord is the God of knowledge. God knows everything. God knows everything. He knows everything. That should scare us. See, it should not make us pretentious people. Yeah, it should not make us liars. It should not make us, you know, some people can pretend. See? Pretend to serve God. Pretend to be interested in the things of God. Pretend, to believe something. You know, pretend to be something that they are not. It says that He knows everything. He knows our motives. Why we do what we are doing. Why are you doing what you are doing? Why are you doing what you are? You say you are coming to church. Are you sure you are coming to church? Or you are coming to church because you like somebody in the church? You say you are serving God. Are you serving God genuinely? Or you are serving God because you want a position? Or you want something? You said you want to do something for God in the church. But you want us to write your name on a placard. Say that this person did this, this person is the one that is doing this. Like the reason why you're doing the thing you're doing is with wrong motives. And we all, myself, everybody must listen to this message. He's a God of all knowledge. He knows everything. He knows your motives. He knows my motives. He knows your thoughts. He knows my thoughts. He knows your intentions. He also knows my intentions. Hey, He knows the things that you did and you thought pastor will never know. He knows that. And He also knows the things that I did that I thought somebody will never know. He knows that. Yes. Some of you have hidden things. Things that are hidden. You are hiding them. And you think because you're hiding them from your pastor, and you have hidden them from your teachers, and you have hidden them, you are hiding it from God. And then you want to, don't do that. If you are serving God, I want you to serve God, knowing that He knows everything. Why are you doing what you're doing? Because of money, because of fame, because of a name, because of a position, because of a relationship, because of this, because of this. Because why are you doing what you are doing? What is the reason why you're doing what you're doing? He knows our motives. He knows our thoughts. He knows our intentions. He knows our hidden things. There's no need to pretend. Yes. There's no need to pretend. There's no need to become something. It's like you are not serving God, like you are serving God, like you are not anybody. No need to pretend. Loyal or not loyal, no need to. If you are not loyal, just say no. I'm not here. No need to pretend. God is a God of all knowledge. If you don't believe in something, no. Motives. And we are only lying to certain people in the church, lying to certain people outside, because you know they have the potential to propose to you. They talk to you, be laughing. Because you know they have the potential. But there's another someone, you don't care. Motives. Thoughts, your intentions. God is not hidden. You know, we must fear this God. Me, you know. As I walk with God, this thing has been evident in my life. See, there are prayers of the heart that I pray that He has answered in a very scary way. And it makes me fear Him, that He knows what is in my heart. It's like I thought about it in my heart, and He, I don't know. It's like the heart is a very serious thing for God. Yeah. Maybe He never said it with my mouth. He knows everything. Must be scared. And this scare, fear, must make us always want to do what is right according to our heart. We want to do what is right according to our heart. Because He knows everything. You can't lie to Him. You see, I sat with an old woman. She said something I don't think I can forget. She said it in tree to me. I said, Nyankopon there, untimi ndada no. I said, yay. I mean, I don't know, it kept on playing in my mind. It kept on playing in my mind. Yeah, I was talking to her. Nyankopon there, untimi ndada no. And she added, so, oh, dada no. Oh, dada wow. I don't know if I'm saying it the way, but yeah, oh, dada wow. It's like you are, dada is what you are, it's lie, it's a lie, but then it's lie doesn't really fit. It's like you are deceiving. It's like you are fooling. Aha. It's like you are doing something to deceive Him. You are deceiving yourself. When I heard that, I was like, Jesus. Huh? It's like when you are dadaing, it's like you are trying to make a baby eat. You say, hey, ma. You see, then the baby is laughing and then you put a thing inside. God is not like that too. It's like while you do all of this, He just looks at you like you are the one supposed to take the medicine. You are the one to take the medicine. So before you say, I'm putting it in the mouth of God, you say, hey, before you realize, hey, the medicine is tasting in your mouth. It's like you are deceiving your own self. You can't deceive Him. You can't deceive God. You can't deceive God. So do you know what? I also use that as my own testimony. I said, hey, that means that if God says, pray this number of hours. And sometimes you say pray, your mind will wander, then you come back to it, then you are on it, then it's like you sleep 10 minutes, then you are praying. I said, so when God gives me something, I always say that, Lord, help me to do what you want me to do, because to not do it is to deceive my own self. It's to deceive my own self. It's to deceive my own self. Hey, my goodness. Those of you who are serving God, you are serving Him busy bazaar. You are doing this. You are deceiving yourself. You are doing to mean that, no. Come to church this time. You don't come. Do this. You won't do. You come and you sway inside. It's like you. Hey. You get inside. It's like you it's like you don't come for evangelism, you don't go for evangelism, but it's like you are doing like you always go for evangelism. You are deceiving yourself. You are deceiving yourself. You can't deceive God. You can't deceive God. You go for evangelism, it's not you should preach, you won't preach. You will be walking around, sir, the time will be up. You are deceiving God. Pastor may not know it, but you are deceiving yourself. You are deceiving yourself. You are deceiving yourself. So nyankopon de untimi ndada no. So fise o dada no, oh dada, wow, you are deceiving your own self. You're not deceiving pastor, you're not deceiving whatever. You're not, you see, the next verse we're going to read is what shakes me, makes me shake. I said, yay! Weighs our motives. It weighs our thoughts. You know? I believe that as a ministry, that the wherever we are now, is that he has weighed us. So you can have this. Yeah. It's true. Yes, wait, you can have this according to your own whatever. This is what you can have. And somebody is also looking at it and saying that, hey, if I had this thing, pie. He has also ways that you can have this. You also have that. How to have this. He wastes in motives, thoughts, intentions, hidden sins, you know, secret prayers, secret talking of the heart. It's like, you know, the heart talks quietly. It talks. The heart talks. Well, you didn't say it with your mouth, but the heart has said it. Oh, foolish pastor. Is it because we are giving you the opportunity to talk to us? That's why you are talking to us. Your heart. You didn't say it with your mouth. But the heart. You have to fear that thing. Oh, that thing there. It's a very bad thing. Yeah. If it's not taught to do the word of God, eh? You will be shocked as to how you want to go. Fornication that you have not committed, God says you have committed already. Those of you who like to look at people who have committed what you say that they are not right. But you too, you have it in your heart. If you get, you do. God is the God that weighs the heart. He weighs the heart. He's a God of all knowledge. So you see, it should humble every one of us. Everyone should just be humble. Is there someone has stolen something? But in your heart, like if we throw a question at you, tell a lie for $1 million or $500,000 or $100,000. In your heart, you say that, it's too much. Give me 50,000. What lie? I can't tell any lie. But you said that somebody should do this. Somebody has done this. But your heart, that's what you are. So you see, we have to fear God. When we stand before him, we have to be careful. You see, we have to be careful. Because you don't know what the heart would do. If we show it to you right now, you see that you are confused. You'll be confused. You tell a lie. You will not know that you have told a lie. It's after you have received it, you have spent it, you have bought a house, bought a car, you now say, Jesus, I told a lie. But that's what was in the heart. That's what was in the heart. That was what was inside the thing there. Yeah. Some of you should thank God that you have not fallen into certain things. You saw Smirnoff on TV. You felt like drinking it. The heart has already agreed to. But it's just that it has not picked yet. So, see, I'm telling you so that you not dada yourself, like your own dada, you know me, yeah, me, yeah. I'm not doing, I'm doing. You serve him hypocritical. It's like you are telling lies before every one of us. Every one of us, you lie to us. But you can't lie to God. So it calls for sober reflections. Me, I was reflecting. I said, hey. Sober reflections. Yes. And he would remind you that you spoke proudly here. You shouldn't say that. You say, yes, Lord. Okay, I've changed it. So how should I say it now? Say, say it like this. When you want to say this, say it like this. When you want to do this, do it like this. When you want to do this, do it like this. Don't think like this. Don't do like this. Say, yes, Lord. I'm going to work on it. I'm working on it. Not again. It will not happen again. I will not say this. I will not say it again. I will not think about it in my heart. You know, even there are some things when I think about them in my heart, I kneel down and I say, I've not said it with my mouth. I kneel and I say, Lord, this thing I shouldn't have thought this way. How could I have thought this way? In my heart, I thought this way. I shouldn't have thought this way. I should have thought some other kind of way. He knows everything. The old woman told me, you know, she was talking to me concerning ministry. I told her that I had got into full-time ministry, and she was encouraging me, and she was telling me that serving God, I shouldn't worry about anything. I shouldn't do that. God is a God that knows that if you serve Him genuinely, He will help you genuinely. That's what she was telling me. If you serve Him genuinely, God, if you serve Him genuinely, if you open your heart and serve Him truly, He will help you. And I said, it's true. Because you can't lie to Him. You can't lie to Him. Yeah. You know what it means to be a servant of Bill Gates? You are richer than many rich men in Ghana. Yeah. The crumbs that fall off. The small, small things that come to you. The privileges of meeting certain people. Yeah, bodyguard of this. The money they have, you'll be shocked. Bodyguard, but the money the person has is more than somebody who works as a doctor. More than somebody who works as a banker. More than somebody who works as a lawyer. Just because they have been truly serviceable people. People who give themselves to serving. So some of the servants that you see of the people that are prominent, they are well to do. Servants that are well to do. They serve joyfully. Yeah. Somebody shared a video of how that a certain footballer, I don't want to mention the person's name, or I don't know if I remember the person exactly. The bodyguard was always on guard. And there was another even singer. I saw it on social media. I don't want to mention his name. That's why you might remember. The bodyguard was always on guard. He knows what he gets. You are saying that he's bodyguard. Bodyguard is not... If he tells you how much he takes from that bodyguarding, yeah, you want to be a bodyguard too. But will you even get is the thing. Some of us have pretentious attitudes. Pretentious. But it should never happen again. You say that. There's no need to pretend. Yeah. If God knows me, He knows me. I don't have to pretend. I don't have to say that I like this person when I'm still getting to like them. I have no need to pretend. It's not true. I don't have to call someone my pastor that I don't see genuinely as my pastor. No need to pretend. There's no need to pretend. No need to pretend. The ladies, no need to pretend. Don't pretend for anybody. Yes, it normally brings a lot of futuristic wars. A lot of futuristic wars. If you don't respect, show your don't respect attitude. Show it. So that if the person doesn't like, and the person is supposed to say, no, I don't like people who don't respect. This will not, so that when you have somebody that picks you, the person will know that this one, my wife, she doesn't respect. She doesn't respect. And I know that she doesn't respect. If you go and she insults you, it's like that. Yeah. So no need to pretend. Yeah. No need to pretend. If you have slept with seven people, whoever it is, tell the person, I've slept with seven. Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm not going to pretend. The person I like, say yes, then let's rule. You no need to pretend. Don't pretend. Don't hide secretive informations. Yeah. Yeah, come clean. Yeah. You know, one of the greatest miracle workers in pair, if not the greatest, was Charles and Frances Hunter. Charles was the man and Frances was the woman. Frances had smoked, drunk, slept around many times. Yeah. And Charles got to know Frances. After marrying, it didn't work. He still said that you are the one that I love. And then they got in together, married. And God used them as, I should stand to say, maybe the most powerful couple that have ever walked the earth in miracles, in signs, in wonders, in the raw power of God. But look at what God used. Yeah, look at what God used. No need to pretend. No need to pretend. I think I'm enjoying the sermon, but then our time is up. But then, see, no need to lie. Don't lie. If you don't have money, don't push yourself out. You have money. You have money, but now you don't have it yet. You are in faith, and we all understand that, and we all believe you. Yeah, I believe you. Why wouldn't I believe you? But then don't do like you have it. Don't this, oh, I know this politician. I paid this person. And the person that you have is also licking your money. Let's go and take shawarma. Let's go and do this. She thinks she has gotten whatever. Until. And you see that you have made a big mistake. So let's all fear God. Let's all fear God. Let's all fear God. Don't pretend. Don't go and do things. And, you know, it's like you don't, you know, people who don't want to openly tell their pastor what wrong that they have done, they are very dangerous people. Can't come out and say, this is what I did. I've been lying all the while. Yeah, cover it. And then put on an apparel. May I believe so much people who are vulnerable. Like they agree. I know you don't want to hear this. I know it's very costly. I know, but this is what I've done. This is what I've been doing. This is how I've been handling. This is how my heart has been towards you. I've come to apologize. Pastor, forgive me. I shouldn't have done this. Oh. So he's a God of all knowledge. Tomorrow we'll continue. But he's a God of all knowledge. He knows everything. He knows everything. He knows anything. Oh, Dada, Nyankopa. Oh, Dada, wow. You are lying to yourself. God is helping us in Jesus' name to live fully for him. In your report, you write some number. You didn't go, you said you went. Who are you lying to? You didn't evangelize, so you evangelize. Like, who are you lying to? Why are you doing this? Don't you see that it's a dangerous thing to do? You say something with your lips, there's something different on your heart. Why are you, who are you lying to? It doesn't have to be so. God is a God of all knowledge. He knows everything. Don't ever think you're smart about him, about your service day, about what he wants to do. Don't ever think like that. He weighs motives. He weighs thoughts. He weighs intentions. He weighs hidden sins. He weighs secret prayers. He sees unseen faithfulness. You know, one time I said something, I was not happy about it, but the Lord corrected me on it. And I shared with somebody how I had suffered for something. You know, I was telling somebody that I suffered for something. And I was trying to explain to the person that, look, this thing has cost me. So I spoke, came back to my room, and the Lord said, you don't have to tell people. My reward for you should be enough. Don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone. So that it's like people will have pity for it. Don't be interested in that. Don't do this. Don't tell anyone. I said, is that so? I said, yes, you don't have to tell them. You don't have to tell anyone. You can be whatever, but you don't have to tell them. I know what you are doing. I have eyes I can see. I'm a God of all knowledge. I know what you do for me silently. Maybe somebody is listening to me. You also have to know what you are doing for him, that it looks like nobody is seeing it. Nobody understands. Nobody knows it. But God is a God of all knowledge. He knows. He knows. He knows. Faithfulness that goes unseen and unrecognized. He knows. He knows. He knows. He knows. So we're closing on this. And I want you to, like I said, I'm giving you a journey through my devotion. It's my devotion to, I can show you my notes. So he knows. And tomorrow we'll continue on the same. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that in this meeting, no more talking exceedingly proudly. You are helping us. No arrogance is coming out from our mouths, like the story of Ruth says. Precious name of Jesus. Our eyes are open to seeing you and you alone. In all that is done, in what we do, strengthened in so many places of our lives where we're lacking. And we trust that your grace continually abounds, strengthening us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.